Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, segment number two here with Dr. Walter Renberg, professor and section head of small animal surgery in the Kansas State University College of Veterinary Medicine. If you have any questions for Dr. Renberg, you can certainly give us a call, 785-537-1350. And we're talking small animal orthopedics, and that's kind of his area of expertise here at the College of Veterinary Medicine. Let's talk about, Dr. Renberg, some warning signs that people can look out for that their dog or small animal may be in stress.
Excellent question, Brandon. I think that's important. Sometimes we see animals that have had an injury or a condition going on for a long period of time, and that does impact the prognosis. For example, we talked about dogs that have torn a ligament in their knee, like a person with an ACL. We say the cranial cruciate instead of the anterior cruciate, but you know, the sooner we can get that injury addressed, the better the animal will do. Whereas if it goes on for a long period of time, they start to develop arthritis, they develop scar tissue that minimizes their range of motion. So the signs to watch out for and the time to get in there are important points. So with most of these injuries, there's an initial lameness of some sort. And sometimes it's severe and then gets better. So people think, maybe it went away. Or sometimes it starts off really mild and gradually becomes more prevalent or more obvious. So I guess my first point would be to encourage people to check with their veterinarian, whether that's here at our local practice, our pet health center, or with wherever they are, their regular veterinarian. Find out if what they're seeing is a significant concern, and if they need to be referred over for a little bit more detailed workup. The other thing I would say is sometimes we can almost predict what's going to happen. So obviously, if your dog is running loose near the street, there's a reasonable chance of it being hit by a car, and we all think that our dogs are going to stick around and stay with us, but there's just always something really exciting on the other side of the road, it seems. Here in Kansas, we see a lot of dogs riding around in the back of the pickup or even in the car with the windows down. And again, that dog has never jumped out or fallen out before, but only takes once. And we see an awful lot of those come in. So those are kind of things that people can do to stay ahead of it. The other thing is to think about the type of dog or cat that you have, because as a lot of these breeds are becoming more and more popular, we start to find some problems with them. I think that's just natural when you're breeding for a certain thing, a particular look for most of our animals. You kind of get some other things coming along genetically. And I mentioned earlier, dogs that large breed dogs have a lot of knee problems. The Labradoodles and Golden Doodles that were so popular and still are, they have a lot of orthopedic problems. We see a ton of those dogs, and again, good for us, bad for the dog. So they're wonderful pets, but you kind of have to think about what you're getting into and plan ahead. So if you get one of these large breed dogs, listen carefully to your veterinarian's advice about how to feed it, how much exercise as it's growing up as a pup, and think about what you're going to do if and when some of these bigger problems develop, because playing the odds, you may wind up having to come in for some type of significant expense. And the more you've thought about that and planned ahead, the easier those decisions are.
Yeah, it's a good point, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we think of animals going to the surgeon, it's for an accident or something like that. But there are a lot of species that are predisposed to a number of issues in the joints.
And it seems like those are the cutest, fuzziest puppies are the ones that wind up having some of the biggest problems. One of the other breeds, and this is a little bit out of my area from an orthopedic standpoint, but the little French bulldogs and pugs and English bulldogs with the smushed faces that make the cutest little pets, they do have a significant number of problems. And it's just something to throw into the mix as you're thinking about what my next pet should be. I'm sure the people over at the local Riley County Humane Society and shelter would love to have you look through some of the deserving animals they have up for adoption, too.
You know, speaking with Dr. Walter Renberg, professor and section head, small animal surgery at the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. So we know that the surgery does occur here at the hospital. What are some specific types of surgeries that you do out there?
Well, we're fortunate to be able to really offer just about any procedure that is possible. We have an extensive amount of equipment, our facilities, the personnel involved in the training in the different disciplines. So, I don't think I can give you the total list by any means, but we try to maintain the ability to focus on some more routine and simple things because we do want to serve our local community well, and because it's important for the students that we're teaching to see simple basic procedures as well as the more complex procedures. So we may have a fracture come in that we just put a cast or a splint on because that's what it needs. On the other hand, sometimes these joints are damaged to the point where they may need an artificial hip put in, for example. So a total hip replacement with prosthetic or artificial components to replace that joint. We have the capability to try to do minimally invasive surgeries. What I mean by that is in the old days, we might make huge incisions and open everything up to access the part of the body we're trying to work with. Now, by the use of intraoperative radiology, we can guide our instruments and make very minimal approaches. That helps a lot from the animal's recovery standpoint, just like it does in people. We're not quite as worried about the scar as people are, but we do try to hasten the recovery by minimizing the discomfort associated with the procedures. So kind of a broad gamut from a fracture repair standpoint, that might be putting bone plates that screw into the bone. From a joint standpoint, we may replace the joint, or we may try to reconstruct the dynamics of the joint if there's been an injury to a ligament or something like that. Obviously, it kind of depends on the injury for sure.
Well, let's say there's so many obstacles out there for a pet to step on. God forbid they step on a nail or something like that. You take care of that kind of stuff too, right?
Sure, absolutely. We've got an emergency department that is available all through the night. So 24/7, we do provide care. And if it's something minimal, then sometimes, I may not even need to see the animal the next day. The emergency department is capable of handling it. On the other hand, if it's more extensive, they'll talk to the client and you may need to leave your pet for additional care. But sure, something like a laceration, a lot of times it's alarming, it's scary. We're concerned, maybe your pet's bleeding or something like that. But there is reason to look carefully even beyond that, because I've seen a lot of dogs playing around in the water out at Tuttle Creek, and they get a little cut on their paw on the bottom. It doesn't look like a big deal, but there's a lot of tendons under there. And if you don't really explore that carefully, you might wind up with a permanent injury that can't be repaired later.
All right, good to know. As far as just got a couple minutes left here, but as far as research that's going on out there in the College of Veterinary Medicine, anything that the public may be interested in hearing about?
Sure, there's research in every department here at the college, and historically we've been one of the major research departments at the university. Right now, I'm sure some people have heard, we've got several researchers doing COVID-specific projects, looking at medications, looking at testing. So a lot of very important work that's gained a little bit more appreciation now, but was ongoing even before this pandemic. In my area, we are doing a couple different studies. One of the current ones, we're looking at therapeutic laser therapy to address post-operative recovery and discomfort associated with some of the surgeries we're talking about, specifically knee surgeries, for example. We have a study involved. There's some financial incentives for the clients to participate, and hopefully we'll find out if some of these new technologies have value, don't have value, when they're important or when they're not.
All right, very good. Well, if people have any questions, how can they get a hold of you guys out there?
We're always available. As I said, the best number to call is the general number, which is 785-532-5690. The desk personnel will be able to understand a little bit about what the concern or the question is and direct it to the right person.
All right. Well, we surely appreciate all that you guys do here for our community, and thank you for coming on and sharing some information with us. Great stuff.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you for that.
You bet. Again, that's Dr. Walter Renberg, professor and section head, small animal surgery at the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. Stay tuned. We'll have some folks from the Kansas student table up next.